Today we are so fortunate that we have association of His Grace Advaita Chandra Prabhu. He is going to enlighten us on Shad Goswami Ashtakam. So Prabhuji, thank you so much for giving your association and time. Hare Krishna, please take over the call.
Alright, Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavati Ruttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, so we will continue our discussion on the Shad Goswami Ashtakam, especially on the glories of Srila Jiva Goswami. This Shad Goswami Ashtakam is written in glorification of the six Goswamis by Srinivas Acharya, who is one of the foremost Shiksha disciples of Srila Jiva Goswami. And today we will be discussing on the glories of Srila Jiva Goswami. We will continue from where we left off last time. He Radhe Vraj Devi Ke Chalalite He Nanda Shuno Kuta Shri Govardhana Kalpapa Tapatale Kalindivane Kuta Ghoshanta Viti Sarvato Vrajapure Kedair Mahavivalo Vande Rupa Sanatano Raghu Yugao Shri Jiva Gopalakau Vande Rupa Sanatano Raghu Yugao Shri Jiva Gopalakau. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Shri Jiva Goswami, Shri Sanatan Goswami, Shri Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Shri Raghunath Das Goswami, Shri Jiva Goswami, and Shri Gopala Bhatt Goswami, who were chanting very loudly everywhere in Vrindavan, shouting, Queen of Vrindavan, Radharani, O Lalita, O son of Nanda Maharaj, where are you all now? Are you just on the hill of Govardhan, or are you under the trees on the bank of the Yamuna? Where are you? These were their moods in executing Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so we'll discuss on the glories of Srila Jiva Goswami. Last time we discussed how he actually came from Bengal to Navadvip, and there Srila Nityananda Prabhu gave him a tour of the entire Navadvip Dham, which is the beginning of the Navadvip Dham Parikrama. And then from there, he came to Banaras and studied Vedas and Sanskrit and all the scriptures under his godbrother. And then from there, he came to Vrindavan Dham. And Sri Vrindavan Dham, he served under the guidance of Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatan Goswami, who were his uncles, who were the brothers of his father Anupam. And he was serving very nicely until an incident happened where Srila Rupa Goswami chastised Srila Jiva Goswami for not able to control his ego and challenging this Digvijay Pandit, because he was offending Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. And Rupa Goswami said, why are you wasting your time in such egoistic matches? If he's saying something against, how does it matter? They were so secure in their own Krishna consciousness that they would not even care to correct someone who was criticizing them. They felt that it's a distraction from their bhakti. But Srila Jiva Goswami could not take that, and so he tried to defend the honor of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami and defeated this Digvijay Pandit in a philosophy match. But Rupa Goswami was very upset with him, and he asked him to leave Vrindavan. So he was staying in a cave near Mathura. And Srila Sanatan Goswami felt very bad. He visited him there, and then he came back. And he wanted to convince Rupa Goswami. And he said, Jivo, Jivo Jivasya Jivanam. This is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, which means that one living entity, Jivo, Jivasya Jivanam, is the food of another living entity. That's what is the principle of this material world. That's what Srimad Bhagavatam says. But Srila Sanatan Goswami had another thing in mind. He told, do you know this thing, Jivo Jivasya Jivanam? And he said, yeah, one living entity is the food of another living entity. And Srila Sanatan Goswami said, yes, so why are you defying the word of the scripture? He said, what do you mean? How am I defying that? He said, Jiva Jivasya Jivanam means Jiva Goswami is the life of all living entities. Jiva Jivasya Jivanam. And why did you exile him? And Srila Rupa Goswami explained why he exiled him. And then Sanatan Goswami further chastised Rupa Goswami. As your elder brother, I can tell you, you're not following the scriptural regulations and the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Rupa Goswami said, how is it not following teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? All right, repeat the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What are the three main elements that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches? So Rupa Goswami said, well, that's Namaruchi, Vaishnav Seva, and Jivadaya. So Rupa Goswami is saying, Sanatan Goswami asked him, what was the third one? He said, Jivadaya. So are you having mercy on Jiva Goswami? If you're not, you're not following this Jivadaya. If you want to follow, show mercy on Jiva and bring him back. And in this way, Srila Rupa Goswami was pacified and he brought him back. Now, many critics of Srila Jiva Goswami, they point to this episode in Jiva Goswami's life and say that he had acted improperly. But the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we understand that Jiva Goswami was just being an instrument in order to instruct others about the pitfalls of mundane scholarship. Jiva Goswami, the critics, they say that, oh, Jiva Goswami should have been more humble. If he were more humble, he would never have been banished by Rupa Goswami. But they neglect the fact that if Jiva Goswami had not debated with that arrogant scholar Digvijay Pandit, then Vaishnavism would have fallen into ill repute. And for the mass of the people, they would have continued believing that this Digvijay Rupa Narayan Chakravarti has defeated Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. But these people who criticize Jiva Goswami for this episode do not understand that Jiva Goswami had set a proper example of how we should accept chastisement. When Rupa Goswami chastised Jiva Goswami, he did not defend himself. He did not clarify. He did not care to justify. He just humbly accepted the chastisement that was given to them, and did whatever his Guru Maharaj said, even though it was out of misunderstanding or from another level. He could have defended himself and said, no, I did not do anything wrong. I was only trying to do for you. I'm not doing for myself. I'm doing it for you. But he did not, as Vaishnava etiquette, he did not retaliate. He just accepted and tolerated and was grateful that my Guru Maharaj is at least caring for me to give me this punishment so I can learn higher things. At least he chastises me. Otherwise, the neglect of Guru is the worst. Neglect of any Vaishnava is the worst gati. Vaishnavas may glorify us. They may chastise us. It's all a sign of their care and love. But if they neglect us, then even Krishna does not see. If a devotee chastises us, Krishna sees, oh, who is this person to whom my devotee cares so much as to correct that person? And we immediately come in Krishna's eyes. But if we are neglected by Vaishnavas, then there is no hope. So even Prabhupada writes in Srila Prabhupada, in this connection, in his purport, he says that the critics of Jiva Goswami do not know that both humility and meekness are appropriate when one's honor is insulted. But when Lord Vishnu or the Acharyas are blasphemed, one should not be humble and meek, but must act. One should follow the example given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya says in his prayer, one can chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Nevertheless, when the Lord was informed that Nityananda Prabhu was injured by Jagai and Madhai, he immediately went to the spot, angry like a fire, wanting to kill them. Thus, Lord Chaitanya has explained his verse by the example of his own behavior. One should tolerate insults against oneself. But when there is blasphemy committed against superiors, such as other Vaishnavas, one should be neither meek nor humble. One should take proper steps to counteract such blasphemy. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada explains how we should be meek and humble and tolerate insults against oneself, which is very, very difficult to do. Very in different conditions we have to, there are different ways in which we tolerate and things like that, but that's the principle. That's what Krishna is seeing. The whole world may see us as insulted, but if we follow this Vaishnava etiquette, in Krishna's eyes, we become glorious. Then Krishna reveals, is pleased and with our attitude, and he reveals himself from within our hearts. There are two other stories that have been fabricated to defame Jiva Goswami. One of them was that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, after completing his magnum opus, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he showed his work to Jiva Goswami. And it is said that Jiva Goswami threw his work in the well. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was shocked, and because of that he immediately died. But this is not a true story. People say so many things about that. Another story is about Jiva Goswami, in his works, Sat Sandarbha, he denied the philosophical doctrine of Parakiya Ras, which is, there is Swakiya and Parakiya. And Parakiya Ras with the gopis, with the married gopis, is superior to his relationship with the unmarried gopis. But Jiva Goswami understood that Swakiya and Parakiya Bhav, Parakiya Ras is higher than Swakiya Ras. Okay. But Srila Prabhupada, he wrote his books based on Srila Jiva Goswami. Because among the six Goswamis, Jiva Goswami was the most systematic preacher. Others, built temples and they had good relations with the Vrajvasis, they wrote books. But Jiva Goswami did the most systematic expansion of Lord Chaitanya's movement. He was the one who, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu left, he was the one who planned the propagation work in Bengal and Orissa. And therefore he trained Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur and Shamananda Pandit in the basic tenets of Vaishnava etiquette and Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and entrusted them with the preaching work to go and proceed to the eastern provinces, to Bengal and Orissa, with the Vaishnava literatures. And Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Shamananda Pandit, they converted villages after villages in Bengal and Orissa to Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Even this village of Ramuna, then the King Bhiram Bhir was transformed by his disciples. Even though Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur and Shamananda Pandit were disciples, Diksha disciples of other gurus, like Narottam Das Thakur, he was the Diksha disciple of Lokanath Goswami. And Srinivas Acharya was the Diksha disciple, was not a Diksha disciple of Jiva Goswami, but all of three of them took shiksha from Jiva Goswami, and they are considered as disciples of Jiva Goswami. So this is how modern-day ISKCON can also be understood in terms of the time of the six Goswamis. There were so many gurus at that time, as we have gurus in ISKCON. And a devotee may take initiation as a Diksha guru from someone else, but he would take Shiksha from someone else. Under the guidance, under the instruction of that Diksha guru, their Diksha guru would say, okay, go and take Shiksha from this person. And when the Shiksha guru was authorized, they would consider the Shiksha guru same as Diksha guru. Similarly, our Diksha gurus have given us initiation, and they have entrusted us under the care of the temple presidents or the senior Vaishnavas as the Shiksha gurus, and we should treat them just like our Diksha guru, whatever be the situation. So in the same way, Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Pandit were disciples of Srila Jiva Goswami, Shiksha disciples. And Srinivas Acharya is the one who wrote the Sad Goswami Ashtakam, which we are discussing today. In fact, Jiva Goswami, he was so systematic in his propagation of his preaching that his fame spread all over India. And Akbar, he heard about Jiva Goswami. And in 1570, Akbar traveled to Vrindavan just to have an exclusive meeting and audience with Jiva Goswami. And he was so much moved by this meeting by Srila Jiva Goswami, seeing his renunciation, seeing his scholarship, seeing his etiquettes, that he was moved. And he began to, he started recommending the work of the six Goswamis. When he was to be taken to Jiva Goswami, Akbar was taken blindfolded. And he was taken blindfolded in the garden of Nidhiban. Nidhiban is the place where Krishna's pastimes, Radha and Krishna perform pastimes in Vrindavan. That's where he was taken blindfolded. And when his eyes were opened, he was revealed a marvelous vision. And he just completely fainted, seeing that vision of the real Nidhiwan. As a result of that, he asked under the guidance of the Goswamis, he erected several buildings. In fact, the temples of Madan Mohan, Govinda Day, Gopinath and Jugal Kishore were actually built under the instruction of Akbar. And under the instruction of Akbar, under the guidance of Jiva Goswami. Because Akbar had a genuine spiritual experience in Nidhiban by the mercy of Srila Jiva Goswami. And so, although Akbar, had instructed Madan Mohan Temple, the big one, the Govinda Dev Temple, Gopinath Temple, and Jugal Kishore Temple, his grandson, Aurangzeb, he came and destroyed these temples. You can see how there's a whole difference in centuries. Srila Jiva Goswami, it is said, also met Mirabai. Although there is very little credible information, but some people say that. But one of the most important developments that he did, Jiva Goswami personally did, was the construction of the Radha Damodar Temple of his favorite deities, Sri Sri Radha Damodar. And Srila Prabhupada stayed in Sri Sri Radha Damodar Temple trying to get blessings from Srila Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami and all the Goswamis whose samadhis are around there. And he had a room there, he had his kitchen, And Sri Sri Radha Damodar Temple, before he embarked on his journey to India, to the West, Srila Prabhupada was staying there and writing his books. When the land for Sri Sri Radha Damodar Temple was purchased by a wealthy servant of Akbar, his name was Ali Shah Chaudhary, his purpose was just to assist Srila Jiva Goswami in spreading Vaishnavism. And Jiva Goswami took this opportunity and he installed Sri Sri Radha Damodar, who were given to him by Srila Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami. So Jiva Goswami supervised this building of the Radha Damodar Temple, and traditionally the rooms in this temple are rented to holy men who come there to honor Srila Jiva Goswami. Even Srila Prabhupada, he stayed there, as we said, for 6 years, from 1959 to 1965, before leaving India to come to the United States. And in this room, Srila Prabhupada produced the first 3 volumes of his translation and commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada would pray to Srila Jiva Goswami, would pray to Rupa Goswami, whose tomb is in that same courtyard, to please, I don't know how I'm going to preach, but my Guru Maharaj has given me this instruction. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Please help me. That's where he got all the inspiration and blessing and guidance and to come to the West. In fact, the 6 Goswamis, they would also meet at the Radha Damodar Temple and plan the propagation of Krishna consciousness. In order to facilitate this planning by the 6 Goswamis, Jiva Goswami, he masterminded the construction of a library, which was called as the Granth Bhandar. And he would store all the handwritten copies of the scriptures and the books of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and other Goswamis. And he was given all support by Akbar, all his men. Jiva Goswami, whenever he wanted to build something, Akbar and his men would come to help him. And he created this Granth Bhandar, which is still there. And and this became a significant achievement and contribution to preserve the literary achievements. Then in Kolkata, there is a place called Bhakti Vedanta Library, where all these books of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and of Bhakti Vinod Thakur and some of the handwritten things are carefully stored in the Bhakti Vedanta Library. Now, Jiva Goswami himself, he edited at least 25 books. We can keep, there is a whole list of these books. He also, some of the most prominent ones are Gopal Champu, the Sat Sandarbhas. He also wrote Hari Namamrita Vyakaran and Brahma Samhita Tika, which is the commentary on the Brahma Samhita. Bhakti Rasamrita Shesha, which is a commentary on the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami. And many other, on Gayatri Mantra, he wrote Gayatri Bhashya. So many other things that he wrote there, 25 books. And Hari Namamrita Vyakaran. For this book, Hari Namamrita Vyakaran, Srila Prabhupada commented that if one studies this work, this book, he can learn the rules of Sanskrit grammar and simultaneously become a great devotee of Krishna. So based on Krishna's names, Srila Jiva Goswami has taught grammar in this particular verse, in this particular book. And then there is the sat-sandarbhas, of which the most famous is Krama-sandarbha. It is the most elaborate commentary on all the 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam by Srila Jiva Goswami. And Srila Prabhupada, in his commentaries, he referred to Srila Jiva Goswami's commentary a lot. Srila Prabhupada, he explains in his books about the sat-sandarbha, about these six sandarbhas, whereas the Bhagavat sandarbha, Tattva sandarbha, which proves Srimad Bhagavatam as the most authoritative evidence. Bhagavat sandarbha, it draws a distinction between impersonal and Brahman and localized Paramatma, and describes the spiritual world as the world which is more of pure goodness. It also discusses the eternality of deity worship, the glories of the deity, and how the deity is all-pervasive and gives shelter to everyone, the gross and subtle potencies of the deity, their personal manifestations, form, qualities, pastimes, all of that. This is in Bhagavat Sandarbha. The third Sandarbha is Paramatma Sandarbha. And there is a description of Paramatma, the Super Soul, and how Super Soul exists in millions and millions of living entities. And there's also discussions of differences between the qualitative incarnations, Jiva, Maya, all of these different theories. Also about, there's discussion in this Paramatma Sandarbha about Leela Avatars. So a lot of great details is there. The fourth Sandarbha is Krishna Sandarbha. And here it establishes how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna's pastimes, his qualities, his Purusha avatars, the description of Goloka Vrindavan, the Yadavas, all of that. All these discussions is there. A list of gopis' names, a discussion of the topmost position of Srimati Radharani, the queens of Dwarka. All of them are described in Krishna Sandarbha. The fifth Sandarbha is Bhakti Sandarbha, and it discusses about devotional service, how it can be executed directly. How bhakti, even though imperfectly executed, it'll help us to attain the lotus feet of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Also a discussion about the Mahabhagavat and ordinary devotee discussion of Raganuga Bhakti, and all of these different things in Bhakti Sandarbha. And finally, the sixth one is Preeti Sandarbha, which is based on the love of God. And it says how through love of Godhead, we can become liberated, attain the highest goal of life. It talks about personalists and impersonalists, and how, of all kinds of liberation, liberation and bhakti in loving service to the Lord is the most exalted. And then it talks about rasa and shanta rasa, dasya rasa, madhurya rasa, all these different things. Also talks about sambhoga and vipralamba. So these six sandarbhas are the most important works of Srila Jiva Goswami. Of the six sandarbhas, we can understand that they represent the perfection of sambandha, abhidheya, and prayojan. Of these six, the first four sandarbhas are devoted to sambandha, of how we can develop our relationship with God. Meaning, what is the relationship with God? Not how we can develop, but what is the relationship? The theory aspect. Then the fifth one is to Abhidheya, which is how we can achieve, what is the process. The Bhakti Sandarbha explains that. And then the final sixth one, the Preeti Sandarbha, is about Prayojan, the final goal of following the process of Abhidheya. So Srila Prabhupada extensively used Srila Jiva Goswami's texts and in his purports, and we are very, very grateful and thankful to Srila Jiva Goswami for his wonderful work. In fact, these six Goswamis are nothing but manjaris in the spiritual world. It is said that Sri Vrindavan Dham, Goloka Vrindavan, is in the form of a lotus. The whirl of the lotus is Sri Sri Radha and Krishna reside, and around the Sri Sri Radha and Krishna are the manjaris. The first layer is the manjaris, and the second layer is his gopis. The manjaris are even more intimate than the gopis. And these manjaris, especially eight primary manjaris, are Rupa Goswami, who is Rupa Manjari. There is Kasturi Manjari, who is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. There is Manjuwali Manjari, who is Lokanath Goswami. There is Rasa Manjari, or also known as Rati Manjari, that's Raghunath Das Goswami. Labanga Manjari, that's Sanatan Goswami. Guna Manjari or Ananga Manjari, that's Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Vilas Manjari is Jiva Goswami. And Raga Manjari is Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. These manjaris are little 12-year-old girls, and Srimati Radharani is not shy to be intimate with Krishna in front of them. So they are around when Radha and Krishna are intimate, and they help in that intimate pastimes. The gopis are not allowed to be near him because they are these pastimes, because Srimati Radharani feels very shy. So they are the second layer. Lalita, Vishakha, Chitra, Induleka, Champakalata, Rangadevi, Sudevi, Tungavidya. These are the eight gopis who are in the outer lotus petals. Eight principal manjaris and eight principal gopis. And six Goswamis are part of the manjaris. Actually, a manjari literally means like a flower bud. It's not a fully blossomed flower. That's why they're called manjari. Even tulasis have manjaris, which are not fully blossomed. But so these manjaris are not fully blossomed gopis, but they are more intimate than the gopis. And it's more closer to the whirl of the flower. So in that sense, manjari is a special kind of gopi. There are two categories of gopis. Some are pranasakhi, some are nityasakhis. And they have a special relationship with Srimati Radharani. So because they are more intimate, they are allowed to be there during the intimate pastimes. Manjaris are considered superior in some ways to the regular sakhis. So when the divine couple is in their intimate moments, the manjaris, they fetch water for them, they serve betel nut to them, they fan them. Some manjaris would be combing and braiding Srimati Radharani's hairs. Sometimes they would decorate Krishna's body or Srimati Radharani's limbs. They would massage them. They would, while they are in their intimate pastimes, they would give background music, and some of them would dance to create that intimate atmosphere. So they witness and relish the most intimate leela. And so That's what, in that mood, Narottam Das Thakur also wrote the song about Radha Krishna Pranamora, Yugala Kishore. And there also he says in the Kalindira Kule Keli, meaning, in the forest of Kadamba trees, I will seat the divine couple made of brilliant jewels, and then I will I will whisk the chamara, and then make malati flowers, tambula, and with the permission of all the sakhis, I will serve the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. This song is actually, this is in the mood of the manjaris. And these manjaris, although they are considered to be more intimate than the gopis, you see how Narottam Das Thakur is taking permission from Lalita and Vishakha. Lalita Vishakha Adi Jata Shakhi Brinda. He's taking permission from Lalita Vishakha to serve intimately as a manjari of Radha Krishna. All of these activities that he said of, you know, garlands of malti flowers, placing tambula with camphor and chamara whisk, all of this is done by the manjaris. So, this is the understanding of the six Goswamis. They are very, very intimate. They have performed intimate services even to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this modern world. As Prabhupada would say, they were here just 500 years ago. As compared to eternity, this is just a blip. So these are the glories of the six Goswamis. And many things have been written about the confidential manjari bhav. Even Raghunath Das Goswami's position has been revealed, where in one book it actually says that Indulekha Sakhi, Indulekha Gopi, she has a lake, and on the south of Indulekha's lake there is a kunja or a grove called Ratambhuj means Rati's lotus. Rati Manjari is Raghunath Das Goswami, and Rati Manjari's lotus is called Ratambhuj. That's the grove, kunja, of Rati Manjari. And her dress has several stars, and her complexion looks like lightning, thunderous lightning. She's mild, she's chaste, and some of her friends call her Tulasi, which means one who has no comparison. She's 13 years and 2 months old, so you can see they're between 12 to 15 year old. And her primary service, Rati Manjari's, is to fan Radha and Krishna. So these are the intimate, this is nothing, none other than Raghunath Das Goswami. So we all should understand that all of our purpose of our existence as living souls is to assist in the intimate pastimes of these confidential devotees. It's actually to be the servant of the servant of the servant. And the more we meditate on these pastimes, the more we will be able to purify and transform the envy that is there in our hearts, and it will be transformed into pure love of God. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We will end here. If there are any questions or comments, we will take them. And from next time, this ends the six Goswamis discussion. From next time, we will discuss on other Vaishnava Acharyas as appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Thank you for the wonderful class. Prabhuji, you mentioned about Jiva Goswami's, there were wrong stories about you. There are two stories you mentioned. Mm-hmm. In the second story, I think you mentioned about two bhavas or something. Could you explain that a little bit more?
Yes. The second story was about that people say that he denies the parakīya ras. But actually, there is parakīya ras and there is svakīya ras. Srila Prabhupada, he actually comments, he says that when Jiva Goswami was alive, some of the followers, they disliked the parakīya ras of the gopis. Parakīya ras means Krishna's relationship with unmarried gopis. So Jiva Goswami supported svakīya ras because he understood that the sahajiyas would otherwise exploit the parakīya ras, as they are doing even today, and have illicit relationship with married women. So in Vrindavan Navadvip, so many among sahajiyas, there are so many people who find unmarried partners and they live to execute devotional service, saying we are doing devotional service in parakīya ras. So because of that, Srila Jiva Goswami supported svakīya ras, which means with married, under marriage, like with in Dwarka, how Krishna lives. And later all the Vaishnava Acharyas also approved of it. But Srila Jiva Goswami was never opposed to parakīya ras. Although whatever is highest in the spiritual world is lowest in the material world. In the material world, parakīya ras is lowest. But in the spiritual world, parakīya ras is higher. The relationship with Krishna and the gopis, even though gopis were married, even though Radharani was married. But because at that time people would not understand, he supported svakīya ras. But he never disapproved parakīya ras. So this is the... But people say he disapproved parakīya ras. That's not correct.
Okay, thank you. So one more question I have is about Srinivas Acharya. So he mentioned, what is his significance? I'm trying to understand that. He's the one who wrote about the Goswamis, or?
Yes, he's the one who wrote the Sad Goswami Ashtakam, which we sang in the beginning. And he's also credited to be the one of the first book distributors of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Srinivas Acharya, Srinivas Acharya, Shamananda Pandit, and Narottam Das Thakur. They were best of friends who met and studied under Jiva Goswami, and then Jiva Goswami instructed them to take all these books which were there in the Grantha Sabha and in the library, and ask them to propagate those books and write copies and copies of those books, because in those times there was no printing press. People had to write. If they had to copy the books, multiple copies, they have to keep writing. So they engaged so many people to make copies, and then these copies, they took them in a trunk and went and distributed in Bengal and Orissa. And there's a wonderful story of how when they were going to distribute these books in between, on the road, some robbers came and thought that they are taking great treasure, and they stole it. And then this whole, all the books of the Acharyas with their copies, then originals, all of them were lost. And what are they going to tell and tell Jiva Goswami? So they said, we cannot go back, we have to search for them. And somehow Krishna inspired them and they searched and it went to the king, those books. The king read those books and became a devotee. And because of him, there were whole villages after villages became devotees, and Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur and Shamananda Pandit became gurus of the kings and many of the villages. So that's the significance of Srinivas Acharya. But if there is interest, next time we can discuss the glories of Srinivas Acharya. We'll start with the discussion of Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur and Shamananda Pandit.
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu. That will be wonderful. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dandavas. This is Damodarananda Das.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, I have two questions or clarifications. Firstly, very nice, you know, very Nectarian class that you gave with a lot of history and anecdotes. It's really very inspiring to hear about the great personalities. It's a little different flavor. So you mentioned, I did not hear before about Akbar helping the Goswamis. What I had heard, it was actually Raja Man Singh, who was the general, the Rajput general of Akbar, who would help the Goswamis. And principal Goswami was Sanatan Goswami. And even that seven-story temple, I think it's the Radha Raman temple, in Vrindavan, that was built with the help of Raja Man Singh. So thank you for bringing out that Akbar also helped the Goswami. So if you have ever heard of Raja Man Singh helping Goswami, I would like to know. And secondly, the meeting of Mirabai was also a great devotee, but not in our parampara. Met the Goswamis, and I remember that she had requested a meeting with Sanatana Goswami. Have you any heard about that meeting and what happened? Because I heard some version, and I'm not sure if it's...
Yeah, I've heard about this meeting, but not many details are known. I don't know many details beyond what they spoke in the meeting. But I think it was with Rupa Goswami that she met. And Rupa Goswami was, maybe Rupa and Sanatan both, but I heard that she met with Rupa Goswami as well as Jiva Goswami. And Rupa Goswami was very impressed by her bhakti. And Raja Man Singh, he was a disciple, actually, of... He helped especially building the seven-story temple of Srila Rupa Goswami, of Govinda Dev Temple, Radha Govinda Temple. It was seven-storied. Of course, after that, Aurangzeb, you know, broke six stories, and now it's only one story. But the seven-story temple was constructed by Raja Man Singh.
Okay.
It was. It said that the cost of that construction was 1 crore rupees at that time. And now, out of the 7 stories, only 4 stories are remaining. Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
And with condition. A couple of things I wanted to share.
Yes, Prabhu.
You know, you discussed Parakiya, Bhava, and Sakya. Parakiya literally means the relationship with the other's wedded wife.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why this incident with the Jiva Goswami, because as you said, it's the most abominable thing in the material world. And so we appreciate Radha Krishna and Gopi's internal relationship just to create that atmosphere. Yoga Maya exposes this, creates this Parikya atmosphere. But Gopis and Radharani, they are eternal, they are the internal potency of Krishna. So when one appreciates that, then they can relish the apparent Parikya. In reality, nobody is Paraka of Krishna. Because everybody is Svakiya of Krishna. How can anybody be Parikya of Krishna? But Yoga Maya creates the atmosphere as if they are Parikya. So it's like some situation is created. You know, husband wife goes to some other place and they have to play a role where they cannot be exposed that they are husband and wife. But they will meet. Now when they meet, it will be very tailor-made. It will be like very scripted. It will be, there is always a possibility of separation. They may be called up so like that. But those who know their identity, their husband and wife, they don't mind. You must have gone through hard time and must be very exciting, all these things. So Yoga Maya is creating all these situations to increase the enchantment of the gopis and Radharani. That's why the Jatila and Kutila and all these, they play the role to enhance that that mood of meeting and separation and then again meeting.
Right. Well, that's why it's called Parakiya Rasa. The relationship is not Parakiya. It's not Parakiya Swarup. It's Parakiya Rasa. Everyone has Swakiya relation only, but the mellow, the Rasa that they are relishing, the Bhava, the mood is of Parakiya. So they are in the mood of Parakiya, although everyone is Swakiya relationship. But the Rasa that they are enjoying is Parakiya Rasa.
So that's why it's said, Parakiya Bhave, Yaha Bhajate Prakar.
Yes, Parakiya Bhava, not Parakiya relationship.
The sentiment is Parakiya.
Yes.
So there's always a possibility of unavailability. You know? That's why the meeting is very sweet. Like in husband and wife, they are always available for each other. So it's not so ever exciting.
Correct.
Because there's a possibility of unavailability. And because of that. And Prabhu, it's why gopis, both Manjaris and Sakis, both are gopis. They are two categories. Some are Sakis, some are Manjaris. Like that.
Right.
Thank you for bringing out this wonderful, and it's a real, real feast for the soul in our sitting for
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, thank you.
And one more thing about Manjari is in the books of Malcolm Das Thakur itself, something very unique said. It's very, very amazing. He describes that Manjaris, they are fully qualified, they are fully so enchanting to Krishna also. And Krishna is attracted to them, but Manjaris, because of their so much loyalty to Srimati Radharani, they are the manifestation or the personification of loyal service to Srimati Radharani. And so Krishna's attraction towards them is different. Because Manjaris don't have the conjugal attraction. They are not conjugally attracted or aspiring to be enjoyed by Krishna. And that puts them in a very unique position. So Radharani doesn't feel any shy, because with the Sakhis, Krishna's direct association, that puts Sakhis on the equal status with Radharani, so there is a shyness. But because Manjaris are not attracted conjugally towards Krishna, so Krishna, because Krishna wouldn't take the initiative to grab them or to associate or intimately. So Manjaris, because of their special, exclusively loyal dedication to Srimati Radharani's service, Krishna becomes also baffled. They are mohit, sammohit and vimohit. So Krishna becomes vimohit. That is a special position of Manjaris. So in our aspiration, we also dedicate and aspire to be exclusively dedicated to the service of Srimati Radhani, who provides the highest pleasure to Krishna. And in that mood is expressed by our Goswamis and their followers. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, I have one question. Regarding the manjaris, you explained, all the manjaris are, all the Goswamis are in the form of manjaris, or they have been transformed into manjaris?
Yes.
Okay, fine. I have some clarification about manjaris, because I have no idea about manjaris and about all that. So will you please explain a little bit about that, so that I can make, I don't have any idea about that.
Yes, so the answer to your question is, they are eternal manjaris who came in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to assist him. So, but in the in the spiritual world, their original swarupa, every living entity has a certain relationship with Krishna, which is very unique, which cannot be taken away from us. That's the nature of that particular soul. Some souls have a natural relationship of a peacock, some may have a natural relationship of a cow, some may have a natural relationship of a gopi, some may have a natural relationship as a friend of Krishna, gopa. So many different relationships. Each one of us have a unique relationship which cannot be taken away from anyone. That's why there is no envy in the spiritual world. Envy comes up because we think that, someone else is getting something that actually we should be getting. If someone else is getting more attention than we are getting, then we become envious, because we think that attention we will not, if he's giving the attention, that attention we are not getting. But in the spiritual world, everyone has a unique relationship. It's not like everyone has same relationship. And Krishna gives attention to everyone as per their relationship. So everyone is fully satisfied. And similarly, the manjaris are these 13-year-old girls who have this intimate relationship with Radharani and with Radha and Krishna thereby. And they are able to serve in that way. That's their original, eternal relationship. But sometimes, they, on the instruction of Krishna, they come to the material world to assist Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and other incarnations of Krishna in their pastimes. So, Krishna requested these manjaris to come down to the material world. When Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these manjaris come as these six Goswamis. And as we had mentioned, that these different Goswamis have come as these different manjaris, where Raghunath Das Goswami is like the Rati Manjari, and Raghunath Bhatta Goswami is Guna Manjari, Sanatan Goswami is certain Manjari. So these are different kinds of Manjaris. Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari. There is Lokanath Goswami, who was the spiritual master of Srinivas Acharya. He is Manjuali Manjari. Raghunath Das Goswami, as we said, is Rati Manjari. Sanatan Goswami is Labanga Manjari. Gopal Bhatta Goswami is Ananga Manjari, or also called as Guna Manjari. Jiva Goswami is Vilasa Manjari. And Raghunath Bhatta Goswami is Raga Manjari. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is Kasturi Manjari. And so on and so forth. So even Srila Prabhupada would have some relationship. His relationship is not yet revealed fully, although some say that he was a cowherd boy in the spiritual world, but it's not revealed and confirmed. But all these different great acharyas, they have a very intimate relationship with Krishna.
Oh, okay. Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Like Bhaktivinod Thakur, he is Kamala Manjari, who's not one of the eight principal Manjaris, but there are many other Manjaris.
Okay. Sure. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, Koti Koti Venkat Pranam to you, Asura. Thank you very much, Prabhupada, for accepting this Goswami, Anang Manjari, and especially Prabhuji, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Hare Bol.
Jai, Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, thank you very much. You have explained very, very wonderful and so much knowledge you have. Thank you, Hare
Krishna. Thank you, Hare Krishna. All right, if there are no questions or comments, we can end here.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Very, very wonderful class, Prabhuji, and very nice explanation of about Manjiris and Goswamis and all the Vrindavan pastimes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha, Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnava.